For too many of us, it's become safer to retreat into our own bubbles, whether in our neighborhoods or on college campuses or places of worship, or especially our social media feeds. Surrounded by people who look like us and share the same political outlook and never challenge our assumptions. And increasingly, we become so secure in our bubbles that we start accepting only information, whether it's true or not, that fits our opinions, instead of basing our opinions on the evidence that is out there. In the course of a healthy debate, we prioritize different goals and the different means of reaching them. But without some common baseline of facts, without a willingness to admit new information and concede that your opponent might be making a fair point, if you're tired of arguing with strangers on the internet, try talking with one of them in real life.
It'd be too easy to talk about nothing, to talk about nothing. Be too easy to talk like I'm something. I'm balling, I'm stunting. Be too easy chasing the fame, playing the game. It'll be too easy. But tell them we don't feel that. No, no, tell them we don't feel that.
Well, hey everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Leading Questions with Calvin Moore. I am your host, Calvin Moore, and per usual, I am here with my co-host, Kent Strait. Kent, what's up?
It is the end of 2017 party, and I am ready for this terrible, terrible year to be over.
I am pretty much right there with you.
Okay.
So, this year has been a clusterfuck, let's just be honest. And I feel terrible saying that, given the last episode was talking about Jesus.
Right.
So,
sure.
But I'm sure Jesus feels the same way about 2017. Like, hey, I turn my back for just a second.
Just for a second.
Eternity and 2017, a year is to the Lord, a day is to the Lord. So he turned his back, and 2017 was utterly
my fought. Sacrifice on the cross covers all your sins, but 2017, you guys are pushing it.
You are pushing it. So, yeah, it's been kind of a rough year, but we'll get into some of that a little bit later. I am excited because it has been a bit since we've done a What's in My Box. And Kent, yes, Kent walked in with a box from Amazon Prime. And
indeed.
Okay, and I was like, yes, we get to do a What's in My Box presentation.
It arrived today.
And it gives us time to stall until my wife gets here.
Yes.
Because she will be our only guest tonight.
So you get sound effects as the box is opening. I'm using our official Leading Questions with Calvin Moore pie slicer to open the box.
Okay. All right.
And let's see what's in it. It arrived today. And should I just tell you or should I ask you to guess? How much stalling do we need to do?
We don't need to actually do any stalling.
Don't need to do any stalling.
No stalling. I do love the sound effects that are totally legitimate
awesome.
Sound effects.
Okay. This is...
Wait, can I announce it? Can I announce what's in the box?
Yeah.
Okay, pass me the box. I've never gotten to do this.
Okay, I will say, I'm going to pass you the... Here, stand up. I'm going to tell you, this is probably the best thing that has ever arrived in a What's in My Box segment. The Hamilton book
The Hamilton
came.
Book seemed
that
really
was
good.
Great.
Okay.
This is the best thing. So announce what it is, and then I have a...
I'm going to create a fake story around why this was ordered.
Yes.
Okay, so... We now, in the box, have an Amazon Echo. So he ordered Amazon Echo from Amazon because Kent can't be bothered with, in 2018, one of his New Year's resolutions is to not have to type what he wants to order from Amazon Prime.
Okay.
So Kent has ordered Amazon Echo. So as to not to interrupt his Netflix binging, to get off the couch, to walk across the room to what I am assuming is a desktop computer.
I do have a desktop computer.
Okay, to the
I
desktop
have a laptop
computer.
And an iPad.
But in my story, you only order from the desktop computer. It is
sure.
Wildly inconvenient, but in order to make your life more convenient,
yeah.
And you can't be bothered with firing up the laptop in this scenario either. So now you're going to say, hey, Alexa, order me another Amazon Echo, to which Alexa will be confused and feel like she is, I'm assuming Alexa's a girl.
It's vaguely cannibalistic, yes.
Alexa's going to develop some sort of complex that she is going to be replaced by the newer, faster model of the Amazon Echo. So you're lazy in the scenario, and Alexa has been anthropomorphized into some sort of human that has emotions enough to feel some kind of way about a new Amazon Echo being ordered by the old Amazon Echo.
Okay, so here's why I got the thing. The story's totally wrong.
Okay.
I got it, obviously. It's December 27th. It is December 27th. I got it as a Christmas gift for my brother. And Christmas Eve, when I saw him and we opened presents, I determined that he gave his wife an Amazon Echo. So this is the first Amazon. This is the first what's in my box, which I've opened it. I thought I kind of knew what it was. And tomorrow, it's going back.
Why?
Because I have one.
Well, I don't.
Well, you are welcome to pay me $80.
I have a Google. I will talk to my wife at the end of this podcast.
Sure.
We have Google Home. I'm thinking that Google. I'm thinking that Amazon might be better. I don't know.
Well, they have. I was.
Can I get them to fight with each other if I had it? It would be like robot wars.
I don't know. I do know that Amazon, they say that between the Echo and the Home and that it Amazon has 75% of the home speaker market. I don't use
mine. That's because Apple doesn't have one yet.
It's coming. It's coming.
I know.
I don't use mine to its fullest potential yet. I got it like 4 months ago. Mostly, I use it as a radio.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a radio at my home. And so I set it up, and so I tell it to play. And the nice thing is, I could use it to play a station in Cleveland or a station in Oakland.
Yeah,
or,
we can do that too. We just found out. I guess my wife yesterday morning was reading something that if you say like "Good morning
Vietnam,"
"Good morning Google," instead of "Okay Google," it will start to play your favorite podcast, and it started to play. Up First from NPR, which is something that we listen to every single morning.
Okay.
And so it was kind of neat to see that all. First it goes, good morning. I think it said my name. Good morning, Calvin. The temperature in Roseville, Michigan is blah, blah, blah. And let's get your day started with. And
up
then
first.
It starts playing Up First. Oh, I thought it was just the neatest thing.
That is the neatest thing.
So now I know.
And you know what I also use it for? I use it to play Jeopardy. If I say, Alexa, let's play Jeopardy, it gives me 12 Jeopardy questions per day.
Wait, legit Jeopardy?
Yeah.
Oh, see, ours does quiz. It does quizzing, but it's you can be on teams, too. So I can play against my wife, which is a lot of fun.
Okay.
But it's not Jeopardy. So now I want to go home and see if Google Home does Jeopardy as well.
We can find out.
Maybe Jeopardy has a deal with Amazon.
Report back.
But this, yeah, we will report back in the new year. So we are at the final episode of the year. This episode's titled Resolved 2017. Each year we're going to call this episode Resolved. We may or may not talk about New Year's resolutions. We were hoping to have some guests. My wife will be the guest tonight when she gets here. She's not here yet. But,
why is she not here yet, Calvin?
She is, she was one coming from a distance away because she had to do a meeting.
That's not the fun part of the story.
And she's also stopping at Domino's to grab me some food because I am hella hungry and have not eaten today.
To
I just
grab
realized
us
that.
Some food.
To grab us some food that you will not eat.
That I won't eat.
Yes, but here's the deal. Ken, I'm done trying. Done trying with you because for those of you listening who don't know, Kent is the pickiest of eaters. When we had his niece here last week, which was a great episode, by the way. They're such precocious kids. Did they get a baby sister for Christmas?
They didn't.
They didn't get a baby sister.
No
for
baby
Christmas.
Sister. No.
Okay. The littlest one, Elena. Is that Elena?
Elena.
Okay.
Yep.
No. The older one, Izzy.
Isabella.
I said that you were a picky eater last week, she goes, Uncle Kent, picky eater? No.
No, yes. She is 10 and a half, and she is rounding into exactly the sarcastic person that she will be at 12.
Yeah.
I just
felt like I saw your influence in their life
yes,
very
well,
clearly last week.
Their mother and their father have very similar personalities to mine, so, I mean, maybe I've shaped them, too. I don't know.
I'm thinking you're all three of you are at least shaping them in some way, shape, or form. So this week, it's not a back and forth between people who disagree with each other. We're going to get right back into that next year. We've got a really great series that we're launching next week. which we'll talk about at the end of the show. But this week we're just going to talk about some of the top news stories of 2017 that have obviously some will have influenced the show, some will not. Then we're going to talk about our favorite episodes from the year. You know, what were some that impacted us? Which are some that we were like, oh my god, this is dragging on forever. And then if we have New Year's resolutions, we will talk about New Year's resolutions. So that being said, we're going to start off talking about news stories from 2017. Some of the top news stories from 2017. Kent, what's a news story from 2017 that you think was like really really influential?
So I printed out three things here. You tell me. I'll tell you what the titles of them are, and you tell me where you'd like to start. First thing is all the good things that happened in 2017, which I'm sorry to say is the shortest of the three things that I printed out.
Okay.
15 pop culture moments that defined 2017 and the 2017 year in review top 10 biggest news stories.
Okay, let's do the one about culture. I'd be really interested in knowing, but real quick before we get to it, I'm trying to think because this year has been such a clusterfuck. I'm trying to think of the cultural things that have happened. I mean, I know that there were a lot of culture wars. We can talk about that for sure. But oh my gosh, top. Like good cultural things? Are we talking like a new dance that came out? Or are we talking about the Me Too movement? Because we're talking about that obviously. But
well, we can just start with pop through it. This is from Gannett News Service.
Yeah, they use USA Today.
Which their
USA
flagship
Today.
Is USA Today.
Right.
So I think
so.
This
the McDonald's of newspapers.
Exactly. It's McNews. All right. So number one on their list, and these aren't. I mean.
Sorry to anybody who works at USA Today. That's got to be
offensive.
It's a
fine paper, yeah. Although less useful to people who can't see primary colors.
True story.
Envelope Gate at the Academy Awards. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Oh, man. Was it Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway?
Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway walked on stage, no fault of their own, with the wrong envelope. I think everybody was expecting La La Land to win Best Picture, and it had just won Best Actress, and they, instead of handing the Best Picture envelope to Warren Beatty, which contained the actual winner, Moonlight, a movie probably 10% as many people saw as La La Land, they handed them the backup envelope containing the backup envelope for Best Actress, who had it was Emma Stone, who had just won. Why they have backups, I have no idea. I'm going to guess that when the ceremony happens again in March, they may not.
Probably not.
But yeah, so they cracked open the envelope, and Warren Beatty saw Emma Stone, La La Land, a category that even in his rather advanced old age, he knows just won. So he was confused. There was an awkward little moment. He wound up and pushed Faye Dunaway in front of a bus by handing her the envelope. She very confidently says, "Best Picture, La La Land." All of the cast and crew and producers rush the stage. Yay! The audience is on their feet, and then it starts to spread through. This horrifying wave of reality starts to spread across the stage. Kimmel comes out. He's talking to people on stage. And then they whisper into the ear of the guy who is they whisper into the ear of the guy who's talking. And he doesn't break stride for an instant to say, he finishes his speech and says, "By the way, we lost. Moonlight won. Congratulations. Come up and get your trophy." Now, that being said, Calvin's wife, Jen, has just walked in to the room, and it feels like there may be something other than jalapeno poppers.
Yeah. I think she got chicken wings, probably.
Okay.
Did you get chicken wings? And you probably got pizza that's half and half.
No.
Okay. I don't think her mic is on, though, so we can't really hear her yet.
What station is she sitting at? She is sitting at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
So that was Envelope Gate. And do you watch the Academy Awards, Cal? or Jen.
Normally, I do. I would say in years past, I have. And I usually liked the awards. You're going to start hearing some chewing here, by the way. I normally like the awards that are more technical.
Okay.
They actually have a separate technical awards Academy Awards ceremony.
I would be shocked if that one's on TV anywhere, right?
It's not on television, no. But they do, during the Academy Awards celebration,
yes,
do like a quick
montage.
Yeah, three-minute revelation. Oh, here are all the people who got all the awards for special effects. And then they will do maybe two major special effects Academy Awards in the actual Academy Awards program.
Yeah.
So that's normally what I used to watch it for, but that was actually before the age of the internet, honestly. So now I don't have to watch it because I'm going to get all the recaps.
Yep.
I can watch the highlights really quickly in 5 minutes rather than 3.5 hours of self-congratulatory programming. So
I would say that I go the opposite way in that I would say that the Academy Awards is my Super Bowl, except that the Super Bowl is my Super Bowl because I watch that every year as well. The Academy Awards is my Academy Awards. I have watched everyone since high school.
Really?
Everyone.
Okay.
All the way through.
Well, no, I don't take the 3.5 hours to 4 hours.
Yeah.
To watch it. But here's the interesting thing about that. I saw what happened. I mean, I saw what happened the next day.
Sure.
It was all over, the internet by then. I'm sure it was all over the internet within 5 to 10 minutes of it happening. But PricewaterhouseCooper was the company that was hired to do the ballots, or not the ballots, the envelopes. And
they're a top end accounting firm.
Yeah,
they count the ballots.
They're one of the major companies that hide money for large companies.
Okay, fair enough.
Right. And so PricewaterhouseCooper, what they mainly do is they make sure that Apple doesn't have to pay any taxes in the United States.
Yes.
That's what they do.
Okay.
Why they're involved in the Academy Awards in these envelopes, I'm still not sure. But they were immediately released from their contract. And my thought about that the next day when I heard about this, I mean, yeah, a few heads are going to roll for sure. But the fact of the matter is, in how many years of the Academy Awards that they've had this contract to do the envelopes, have they never made a mistake? Have they never made a mistake? And then all of a sudden, it's a big mistake. I get it.
Yep.
But it's not like the building burned down and a bunch of celebrities were killed. It was a mistake. It was a faux pas. Steve Harvey was invited back the next year to do the Miss Universe pageant, or was it Miss Universe, Miss USA, one of the two.
Where
he announced the wrong person and won the contest. So I think that firing PricewaterhouseCooper over this mistake was a bit premature and unnecessary. Mistakes happen. But I guess it was such... I feel like it's an overreaction to release him from the contract based on,
sure,
on this mistake. I mean, in the grand scheme of things going on in the world, announcing the wrong Academy Award winner is the least of the world's worries in 2017.
Maybe the best.
I mean, Trump was already president by that time.
He was.
Yeah,
he was. That is the least of our worries. So next on this list is the Ariana Grande benefit concert in Manchester. Now, here's the thing. You're familiar with what we're talking about here, right?
Zero idea.
Okay. Ariana Grande. Do you know who that is?
Bigger fish to fry in 2017, apparently. I don't know how many of these I'm going
to
know.
Literally,
but yes,
bigger fish to fry. Ariana Grande is like 4'11", 75 pounds. She's a very, very small person. She's a pop, she's a pop star.
Yeah, I know who she is.
From what, Victorious, maybe. Some Nickelodeon pop star who became a singer. Good voice. Long ponytail. She was doing a concert in Manchester, in the UK. We less cosmopolitan people sometimes say England. And at the arena, where was it? Doesn't say. I don't know the name of the arena. The arena in Manchester. And somebody, blew it up. It was a bomber.
That I do remember.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And so it was right after the show.
I think a couple people lost their lives. A
couple people were. I should read these ahead of time. 20. Okay, a suicide bomber detonated. Oh, killing 22 people.
22. Okay.
22 people, injuring more than 100.
I remember the number two. That's why I said couple.
Yeah, so. That was 11 times your estimate. She came back. Let's see. The concert where that happened was in May. She came back in, I don't know, June. So very, very shortly thereafter, and did a benefit, and that's very nice. Here's the funny thing about 2017. When I say funny, it's not funny, but that's how our language works. Ariana Grande's concert in Manchester, where the bomb went off, being in May, seems ridiculous to me. That seems like it was 3 years ago. How could that possibly have been this year?
There was that much bad
news. A lot of things happened since then.
There was that much bad news, which, interestingly enough, that's one of the top, 2017 year in review from NBC News. They said one of the big things that went on was the rise of terrorist attacks in foreign countries. Not as many in the United States, but that was one of those attacks that happened. But that's just that is nuts that was this year. It does. Now that you're saying it feels like 3 years ago, it does. There was just so much compounded on top of other things. I was worrying about North Korea. Are we going to go to war with North Korea? Are we kicking everybody out of the country who we don't like? Or, oh, my God, the president's on Twitter again. So much went on in 2017 that it's easy to look at anything that happened in, like, January, February, March as ancient history.
That was this year?
Yeah.
Speaking of people, this is terrible. Speaking of people dying at concerts, number three on the list is the concert in Las Vegas, where we had the worst mass shooting in American history, mere minutes after the last worst mass shooting in American history. Though I don't remember when that was. Oh, it wasn't minutes. It was. Was it since the Orlando club?
Yes.
Okay. It was. Yes. Yeah. I doubt we have to go over the details of that. Somebody shooting from a high-rise hotel room into a crowd. But the good news is, at least if there's any silver lining to be found, it led to a complete reorganization of the way America thinks about their relationship with assault weapons, and it did lead to a full assault weapon ban in all 50 states.
Now, the interesting thing about that
is
why? Why? Because here's the deal. Crazy people went into a church and shot up people in Charleston, South Carolina.
By the way, I do want to say, I thought you were going to get to this. That totally did not happen. We did not.
Oh, my God. I was about to say, wait a minute. Okay.
We did not reorganize our thinking.
Well, I mean, there was a lot more conversation around
it. I was actually going to ask about that.
No,
okay.
Didn't happen.
Wait a second.
Okay. All right.
Just JK.
So,
LOL.
Well, I mean, but there were some, I think the bump stocks. Mm-hmm. The bump stocks was a big deal. That I guess made it to the floor and then was immediately defeated. But
made it to committee.
Made it to committee.
Died in committee.
Died in committee. So, but that's still further conversation than has ever happened in my understanding since the Brady Bill, right? So here's the deal.
Yeah.
You had a conversation that died down immediately after Sandy Hook. You had a conversation that immediately died down after parishioners were killed, black parishioners were killed in the church in Charleston, South Carolina. You had an immediate die down after San Bernardino. You had immediate die downs after pretty much every mass shooting. The thing that made this particular mass shooting interesting to me, and interesting for lack of a better word, in Las Vegas, it was shooting into a country music festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to venture a guess, and I'm not the first person to say this, and I will not be the last person to say this, but I'm going to venture a guess that there were a bunch of card-carrying NRA members at said country music festival.
And when we say card-carrying, I'm assuming there is a literal card. They probably were carrying
legitimately cards. Members of the NRA. Whether they are members of the NRA for the reasons that Bob Walton spiel is, where he just likes to get the magazine, or people who are 100% Second Amendment rights advocates, rabidly so. So it was interesting that I felt like the conversation got a little bit further Still died in committee, but still got a little bit further than every other mass shooting because now they're shooting at the people who agree that we should have as little regulations on assault weapons in the United States as possible. So you're shooting at people who are advocates of gun ownership, advocates of assault rifle ownership, and you started to have those conversations. There was one person, one story that came out of that I found fairly, I don't know if it was sad, ironic, telling, still kind of going back and forth in my mind about what happened, but one of the people who was there who was a gun advocate was converted to not being a gun advocate. And I don't know if that's ironic or not, if it takes that kind of message or it takes that kind of event happening to them for the message to hit home. Oh, okay, yeah, I'm being an idiot about this. Same thing that I often say when, you know, a black person gets shot while unarmed by the police, right? I believe I had a Facebook post this year where I said, I don't know, but I sometimes feel like I would have to get shot for some of my friends to finally get the message about what's happening to unarmed black people in this nation at the hands of the police.
Mm-hmm.
That it would take it being close to home for any perspective to change.
And I, of course, want that to never happen.
Of course, obviously. I don't want it to happen either. Thank you. thank you for putting that on the record, honey.
Just saying.
Because we did play Cards Against Humanity a few weeks ago, and she said some super racist stuff.
No, the cards are racist. I played my hand.
She read them out loud, right? So
no, it was interesting. It was Cards Against Humanity will let you know just how horrible people are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But the card that came out was, if I was a billionaire, I would erect a 50-foot commemorative statue to, and obviously, you know.
And he was the one reading the
cards. And I'm reading the cards. And if you don't know Cards Against Humanity, you don't know whose answers you're reading until, you know, they say, yeah, well, oh, that was me. Yeah. The card that won, or that didn't win, it didn't win.
Okay.
Because I was the one picking them. So, but when that one came up, I was like, whoever picked this is an asshole. Holy shit. In my house? Really? In a black man's house. A 50-foot commemorative statue to the KKK. This is my white wife. And she's like, what? I'm playing my card.
No, I put it down because it was like, I thought you would be like, just no.
And I was and like, I thought, just no. I just didn't expect
it. Yeah, but I thought it would be like, this is the least likely that I would ever put. So it was like the most outrageous card.
Anyway.
That's why I put it.
I was very mad at her that night.
No, you weren't.
Let me tell you something funny.
You knew I didn't mean that you would actually ever.
Let me tell you something funny that happened just a few days ago, just a couple days before Christmas. You know, the girls who were here last week, Izzy and Elena, their parents do Elf on a Shelf. You're familiar with Elf on a Shelf?
Yes, it is basically your precursor to FBI surveillance.
Sure, right. So, one morning, just a couple days before Christmas, the elf vandalized their Christmas tree with toilet paper. So there were just ribbons and ribbons of toilet paper all over their Christmas tree, and the elf was wrapped up in. The elf was wrapped up in the toilet paper, and I saw it on Facebook, and I saw the elf with this pointy red hat and these white robes and said to their dad, so you've introduced the Klan into your house. You've put the elf in the Klan.
How'd that go over?
It was great. Yeah, he said, I didn't see it at the time, but I see...
I see it now. I see it now.
So next on the list we have... this wasn't a serious news story, but a story that is still with us, still boiling, roiling, and that is the Harvey Weinstein saga and the hashtag MeToo movement.
Yes.
Where... men and women, mostly women, but some men, spoke out against sexual harassment using that hashtag. And that was all started by, ironically, a
African American woman.
Oh well, maybe the hashtag was, but this movement all got kicked off as far as I'm aware by a male actor came out decades later and say, I was, as a teenager, propositioned by Kevin Spacey at a party in 1986.
Yes, and that guy now stars on Star Trek Discovery.
Discovery, yes. Anthony Rapp.
Which is a great show,
who,
by the way.
I would know as an original cast member in Rent, but you would know as a cast member
in Star Trek Discovery.
Right. Yes. but yes, the allegations against Kevin Spacey led to what I can only assume was the sudden catastrophic end to his career, and that's when the allegations against Harvey Weinstein came out and led to the beginning of that that hashtag, which for a while, for about 2 weeks, I don't think a day went by without somebody new getting
yeah,
accused.
I was just like, I should just not talk to women, period.
Yeah, right.
I just like, something's gonna happen. But no, here's the deal about that. So that came out. One, the Me Too movement actually was started by an African American woman. It did gain steam with the revelations against Kevin Spacey, and then obviously Harvey Weinstein. But there were some news stories that came out in days immediately after Harvey Weinstein was named, because Kevin Spacey is a huge actor, high caliber actor too. Obviously,
two-time Oscar winner.
Yeah. Yeah. Number one, multiple Emmy winner with House of Cards. So number one most popular show on Netflix that's original programming, as far as I understand. Ousted from that show. But Harvey Weinstein is a Hollywood producer. So it was even bigger when the allegations came out against him. But stories immediately came out in that and following days, the days following immediately after the allegations, was that this was a well-known thing in Hollywood. And so well-known, in fact, that it was either during the Oscars or the Emmys, Seth...
Myers?
No, not Seth Myers. The guy who does Family Guy.
McFarlane.
Yeah. Seth McFarlane. Who's also on a fantastic show right now as well, that is the Orville.
The Wilbur.
The Orville, which is great. But... he openly, when he was hosting, I want to say the Oscars, openly mocked that Harvey Weinstein.
He was doing. He didn't host the Oscars. He was doing the, what do you call it? He was doing the nominations.
Oh,
he
so
hosted
was the
nominations.
Okay,
yeah.
So he made the quip. Now you can stop pretending to be attracted to Harvey Weinstein. Yeah. So this is
when he was introducing Best Actress.
Yeah,
nominees,
and so so this is a very well known thing in Hollywood. To the point that I have very little faith that the Me Too movement has any real, true staying power in that particular community. Maybe in the rest of the world it might. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we're going to end misogyny and patriarchy with a hashtag, but especially in Hollywood, where it is a well-known thing where people don't care until there is a hashtag. So I fully expect Kevin Spacey to be back. I fully expect Harvey Weinstein to still be paid in the buyout of his company and still be very influential. His brother still owns the other half of the company. So I don't know that I see the Me Too movement actually having any long-lasting effects, because Hollywood does what Hollywood does, and that is they pretend. They are actors. And so I think that they are acting like they care about this, but at the end of the day, they also have this idea that this is the way things are, and this is the way things will always be. Enjoy your moment in the sunlight, hashtag Me Too, because tomorrow it's back to business as usual.
That may be the case.
And I hate to be that cynical.
You may be right.
But the fact that it's a well-known secret and they're just joking about it and now it's a thing just makes me have very, very little faith in the fact that this is going to go anywhere in particular. But I have my wife here, who is the only woman in the room, obviously.
And coincidentally, the world's biggest Harvey Weinstein fan.
And she loves Harvey. She wishes him all the best. No. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Me Too movement that happened this year?
My thoughts are it's nothing new. It got some media coverage. And I don't think a hashtag is going to solve things. I think bringing light to, shall we say, the dark things or dark places is useful in giving people the courage to speak up and to be able to give those victims some sense of validation or dignity back, you know, and to not feel alone. However, outside of that, I don't think it's what's going to solve it. I agree. And I also think that it has taken, there's been years and years of a lot of, you know, strong efforts to change things, and it's misogyny is still alive and well. We have gained some ground, but I think we still have a far, you know, road to go. And I also think that that Hollywood isn't going to change. And as long as it's still primarily men in power, it's not going to change.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, another story that that came out this year, that kind of a cuter story, but I was not interested in this story. April the giraffe. People watched for hours for this giraffe to give birth.
I heard something about a giraffe. Oh,
yeah.
A giraffe had a baby, right?
Yeah. They had a live stream, and it was like, any day now, any moment now, any minute now, this baby is going to come.
I mean, the fact that giraffes are a thing means that they're having babies all the time.
Yeah, but there was not a live stream video of a giraffe in captivity having a baby. So they just had this video on 24/7 of April the giraffe at the Animal Adventure Park in New York. As a 40-minute, once the baby finally comes, it's 40 minutes of watching this baby be born. And then
it takes 40 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty long. And they walk within the first few minutes. So,
wow.
Yeah. They're like way ahead of us on the evolutionary scale in that in terms of that.
No,
but people lost their minds. They're watching
minutes,
this stuff.
When I say 40 minutes, I mean, why did it take my sister 11 hours?
I don't know.
Oh, I think there was like, I don't know.
Well,
that
baby's
that's
a lot smaller
full
than a giraffe. I think giraffes are more like, I think if anybody
do you mean like
complain,
it's 40 minutes of
I think
actual
he means
delivery?
Like the actual
correct
delivery.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Not like the full, like everything included.
No, people were okay. People were watching. The video was on for like a month.
Yeah.
And people were watching because
it was
like any moment
deliver.
Any moment this baby's coming.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the actual delivery was 11 minutes. So.
I feel like it would be like 11. You said 40 minutes.
40 minutes, yes.
So they would be like hard, like.
Okay.
For, you know, that whole 40 minutes, like compared to like a woman's that's like a few minutes at that point.
Don't get me wrong. I'm happy for April. And I do remember that story. I can't imagine why anybody cares.
1.2 million people watched it.
Really?
Streaming on YouTube. 1.2 million.
Or 1/12th as many as watch any episode of The Walking Dead.
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
here's a story that
The Walking Dead only requires an hour of you.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Here's a story. I'm gonna defer to you to explain to me why it's important.
I reserve the right, since I don't know what the story is, to say I don't know why it's important.
And it's going to was it one of the top 10 pop culture moments of the year? I don't know. Beyonce's pregnancy announcement. Here's how I see it. Putting aside for the fact, now this is going to sound super white of me, putting aside for the moment that Beyonce is an artist who gets a lot of attention, relative to the performance of her singles on the Billboard Hot 100. Is a married woman who is financially stable, who's having her second baby. I could not give less of a damn about this baby or why this was a thing. Why is this a top 10 moment of the year?
Okay, now here's the issue.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to give you two answers.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give you the quintessential black answer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. And then I'm going to give you my actual answer.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the quintessential black answer. Who the fuck are you to talk about Beyonce like
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Yes. Right.
Who are you to talk about Queen Bee like that? I will fuck you up. I will cut you up. And then I will bury your body in a bunch of different places.
Here's what it says under the paragraph about it. Why it was a big deal. It's Queen Bee. That's what it says. okay.
So I gave you the appropriate black answer.
Sure.
I will give you my personal answer.
She's fine. I don't dislike Beyonce
and
at all.
Here's the deal. Sometimes people will post things on Facebook to say, all right, what are some things that if you admitted it, you would lose your black card? And one of mine is, I'm not a huge fan of Beyonce. So I think she's decent. I personally liked her better with Destiny's Child, but people say that she's better without. That's fine. Everybody's entitled to what kind of music they like. I'm not a huge fan. I did like her newest album. That was really cool. I love the way that they released it.
We're talking about Lemonade, right?
Yes. But as far as I'm concerned, there's so much. Again, there was so much going on this year that I'm just like, I
don't get how they got in a top 10.
I don't care about this person having a baby. I mean, I got friends who are having babies too.
Like, yep.
Those are people I care about. So some celebrity who has no effect on my life whatsoever, who I'm never going to meet.
It's a second kid.
It's a second kid. So it's the less important of the two, right?
Let's call a spade a spade. Right.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not the third child.
No.
I also didn't think that her pregnancy announcement photo looked like it was even from this decade.
I thought it was a cool picture.
That one?
Yeah, it was a cool picture.
Okay, yeah. Sure.
But I think it was on the cover of Vanity Fair or something like that. I can't remember.
But I thought it was like from
the 80s
or something.
She had twins? It's the second and third child?
Yeah. That was it. Okay, so it was twins.
Okay, maybe it's twins.
But still, it's just not that big a deal to me. My sister has twins. She has two sets of twins.
She has two sets of twins.
Screw Beyonce.
Yeah.
My sister is Beyonce squared. So as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, here's how my, by the way, here is.
Feel that hashtag so hard.
Screw Beyonce. Here is how my mind works, and it's going to take me back to the last story. So Beyonce's husband is obviously Jay-Z. Jay-Z's probably most famous song is Empire State of Mind, and it got me thinking about the giraffe. Is New York the best place for a African animal refuge? Isn't it really cold?
I'm sure they have enclosures. They have this thing now. It's called the indoors.
Okay.
And they can heat it.
They do.
Both humans and animals can survive in the indoors.
You understand what the logistical problem of building a building for a giraffe is, right?
High ceilings? You mean like a lot of the buildings in New York have?
Yes. I would think you would need quite the dome for a giraffe. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think it's that hard to do.
All right.
I can imagine it because I've seen it.
Okay.
Right.
You've seen the inside of buildings.
We have inside enclosures for the giraffes in Detroit. We have them here.
We do?
Yes.
Seriously, yeah. That's why I was like, the zoo has them. It's not that hard.
I have not.
Zoos have been doing this a very long time, kids.
I have been to the zoo. I've been to the zoo more.
Now I don't believe you.
Okay. I have been to the zoo more in the last 8 years than I went in the 20 years before that, which is to say I have been to the zoo twice in the last 8 years. I have never gone outside of the months of May and June.
Right. They're still open right now.
Yeah. That's the thing. Where do they put the African savanna animals?
They have an indoor area.
They have an indoor.
You can literally go inside and see them in their habitat.
The tigers
inside.
And the lions and the giraffes.
Yeah.
Really.
They don't send them back somewhere.
It's kind of like
it's not like a loan program.
When you go into like the polar bear or the penguins or whatever, and
polar
have, like,
bears seem like they're right at home.
Right.
No, but you go in and there's like an inside
but
area.
But where are they
you
during the summer?
Yeah. Yep.
Same kind of idea.
Same idea.
An indoor outdoor thing.
All right.
Typically, everybody does the polar bear and penguin indoor-outdoor. You don't always go to the others because they're outside.
Here's what I got to wonder about zoo animals. Do you wonder if zoo animals think that the people are the ones in the zoo? You ever wonder about that?
I think you are thinking too hard.
I am thinking way too hard.
The funny thing is this is not the first time that he has said this question. He is still thinking about it lately.
Let's complete the trifecta of stories I don't care about. I mean, and more power to these guys. I mean, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's engagement. I mean, glad they're happy.
I am kind of big on that one. Here's why.
Okay.
One, she's biracial.
Yes.
So she's black. She's American.
Yep.
She's divorced.
Yes.
That's a huge deal.
It is.
But the bigger deal.
Yep.
The bigger deal is the powers that be are very concerned that Prince Harry, who is good friends with the Obamas,
yes,
is going to invite Barack Obama to his wedding prior to Donald Trump meeting the Queen.
Yeah.
And they are afraid, given the petulant nature of the President of the United States,
his toddler-like aura,
will not receive it well and will have a temper tantrum. Which will cause will cause more of a strain between England and the United States, right? And they are one of our chief allies. And so people are very concerned and do not want him to invite Barack Obama. To which I posted on Facebook a couple days ago.
I read it.
I said,
prepare for this, kids.
I have to go to it because I wasn't prepared to talk about this.
Okay.
That, you're going to bring that up. So I said, yeah. You're not telling me who I can and cannot invite to my own wedding. Invite the Obamas. President Trump can suck a dick if he doesn't like it. It's not his fucking wedding. That's my thoughts on that. Like, look, this is my wedding, and I get it. I'm not a head of state. I don't represent a state. I don't represent a country. My nuptials to my wife did not mean anything beyond what it means to us and our vows before God and our family and friends.
Yes.
Okay, this could have international implications. But at the same time, I'm going, it's your wedding. And I want to say, you only get married once. That's not true because I got married twice. But hopefully you only get married once, right?
Sure.
Hopefully it's a big deal. Hopefully you get to have the day that you want to have, and you get to invite your friends and your family and who you want to be there. You know, critics be damned. Country politics be damned. This is your fucking day. Let it be.
If I may, what's interesting is in this implication, is anybody else getting that means Donald Trump's not invited?
Oh, he's not invited.
Oh, he's not invited.
Absolutely not.
No, I mean, like, typically in those type of ceremonies, it's not like you're...
You do invite heads of state.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like your wedding, I mean, our wedding, like, okay, my mom and dad were, usually people's parents are like, hey, you got to invite uncle and aunt so-and-so or, you know, different people. You invite your bosses, you invite certain people. And I would imagine that it is customary to also invite the President of the United States.
Sure.
So... The fact that they're concerned about this, I wonder if this is actually a real concern, because...
I will say that meeting the Obamas at your wedding was one of the highlights of my life.
Thank you.
You invited them, and they came.
No, I mean,
Barack's really cool, isn't he? I mean, he can cut a jig, right? Yeah. It's like, wow. Did not think he could get down like that, but he did.
But
thanks, Barry.
Are they both coming at the same time? Because then is there really an issue? I don't know.
No. Well, I would imagine there have been other situations in which the two people... have found, although not that often, have found themselves in the same room. I don't know that they've been in the same room since those incredibly awkward, maybe not since the inauguration. I can imagine probably not since the inauguration, actually. Prince Harry, by the way, is, I think, a really good dude. I mean, he's a decorated soldier. He's helicoptered. He's saved a lot of lives serving in the Royal Air Force. But I don't understand why it certainly shouldn't be as big a deal from a statecraft point of view, because he is sixth in line for the throne. He's not going to be king.
Sure, but
he's not even a pretend. I mean, we're not even pretending he's going to be king.
But we made this big deal here when Chelsea Clinton got married, when Nixon's daughter got married on the. I want to say she was the first White House wedding, if I'm not mistaken. It was either Nixon or Johnson's daughter. It was the first White House wedding.
Are you nostalgic for the nuptials of Trisha Nixon?
No.
Okay.
No. What I'm saying is we make a big deal out of the marriages of presidents' daughters here in the United States. So, I mean, again, head of state, we love thinking about the royal – I mean, like, the Britons Obviously, love thinking about the Royals here in America. We're kind of nostalgic for, oh, well, they have a queen. That's kind of cool. We loved Princess Diana. So I think people are just kind of enamored with the royal family. So, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, is their marriage any more important? I mean, it's again, yeah, it's right up there in terms of, you know, Beyonce's twins. It really is. But at the same time, I think that maybe that's a little bit bigger than Beyonce's twins. But I just did look up Prince William's guest list for his wedding.
Yep.
And
he's been married, what, I don't know, 6-7 years?
Yeah. Okay. So the Obamas were in office. Good. when he got married. And they were not on that guest list.
He didn't invite them.
No. But
he's second in line for the throne.
But Prince Harry is actually better friends with the Obamas. They became friends at the Invictus Games. They actually became friends.
Okay.
So they're legitimately friends. So if you're talking about inviting your friends to the wedding, being told by people outside you can't come.
Remind me what the Invictus Games are.
The Invictus Games, if I'm not mistaken, is rugby. There was a movie about it called Invictus that had Morgan Freeman.
Wasn't that about soccer?
Was it?
I don't know.
I thought it was rugby.
Played Nelson Mandela.
Yes, he did.
I thought it was about soccer.
Okay.
I don't know.
You could be right. Sure. I'm going to Google it right now.
Okay.
So Invictus. Invictus Games. Let's see. Invictus Games. Wounded Warriors. Set sail. Blah, blah, blah. Invictus Games Foundation. Multi-sport event.
Okay.
Created by Prince Harry.
Oh.
In which wounded, injured, or sick armed services personnel and their associated veterans take part in sports. So there's wheelchair basketball, sitting volleyball, indoor rowing.
Okay.
So there we go. So that's what the Invictus Games are. So I don't know that Invictus, the movie, had to do with the Invictus Games.
Maybe. Probably not.
Okay. But either way, yeah, they became friends through this. And so I think it's different in that we're not talking about, hey, you know, which heads of state are going to be invited, which are not. We're talking about friends. And I think every person who's getting married goes through that list of, you know, which friends can we invite, which friends can we afford to invite.
Except for they have a royal budget.
Dollars. Yes, right. So in this case, I think...
I don't know that their guest list was as limited as ours. Ours was about our budget.
I think Donald Trump can sit and spin. And here's the thing. Even if, let's say I didn't like Barack Obama. Obviously I do. But let's say that I didn't like Barack Obama and he was going to have a temper tantrum that he wasn't invited to Prince Harry's wedding because someone else was being invited before he got to do something. I would tell Barack Obama, it's not your wedding either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your wedding. It's not your place. But I also don't think that Barack Obama would do that. So.
And the funny thing is, like, George Bush is not even mentioned, and that's okay.
No,
like,
no. That's,
no, but I mean, like, you know, you have George and Bill. You know, both of those are presidents.
Yep.
Probably not invited either.
I would think not.
So let's take a 10-minute break. We'll be back, and we will continue talking about top stories, favorite episodes from the year, and if we have some New Year's resolutions. We'll be back in 10. Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for waiting on the line. We're going to continue talking about some of the best stories of 2017, some of our favorite episodes from our show.
2017 wrap up.
And then we'll finish out with talking about New Year's resolutions for, like, the last 10 minutes of the show. So, if anybody has them at all. So, other stories that were big this year. North Korea started a Twitter war with Kim Jong-un, right? Is that who
Kim
we got?
Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un, who is the supreme leader of North Korea. And there has been some pistol wagging, to say the least. North Korea has fired a few missiles I guess some fell into the sea, but they've been bragging that they could at least hit the eastern seaboard. So the battle of words kind of escalated for a little short period of time between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un via Twitter this past year, which had a lot of people on edge. So they're a big thing. You know, a lot of people have asked, is there a constitutional problem with some of the things that Trump is saying when he talked about transgender people are not going to be allowed to enlist in the United States Armed Forces? Does a tweet is a tweet actual governmental policy? Obviously, the answer to that is no. But it did cause the Pentagon to have to to scramble and release a statement, right? So when the president of the United States is getting into a war of words with a equally unhinged world leader, that gave a lot of people pause in 2017. I gotta say, I've never entertained the notion of dying in a nuclear war.
Nuclear.
Thank you. Yep. I'm going to say it how I say it.
Sure.
It's 2017. Don't judge me.
But here's the thing. I have so much fun correcting it.
I know you do.
I feel like it's one of our running jokes.
It is a running joke at this point. Yeah. So I'm never going to say it right. Nuclear proliferation. So there we are.
Nuclear.
Nailed it. So.
You know what? This is like the only time I get redemption.
Yeah. Yeah. Or revenge.
Not revenge. I'm not doing anything to cause it. It's not revenge.
Okay. All right. Just saying, because I'm always correcting her on words. So that's one of the few that I mispronounce. Here's another one. Here's another one. Divisive or divisive?
Divisive.
I mean, I have said both.
I've heard it as both.
Divisive. Yeah, I think they're both correct.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So
and you know, for all that's a real tomato situation.
There's no
situation.
Tomato. Nobody
says that.
Nobody calls it tomato.
It's the same.
Nobody says potato. That's
Nobody says tomato or potato. The saying is wrong in and of itself.
You say tomato, I say tomato. You say potato, I say potato. But nobody does the other two.
I understand this. I'm just saying.
Right? I just think it's funny.
It is the actual.
That is the worst thing you can say. Like, that's not how anybody anywhere pronounces it.
So in the fall, Jimmy Kimmel went to open warfare with a major political party.
It's been fun
in America
seeing his stuff in the mornings.
It's been silent for a few weeks, but Jimmy Kimmel, who I guess it was over the summer, Jimmy Kimmel, host of Jimmy Kimmel Live, which is manifestly not live. It's kind of an ironic name.
Right.
Jimmy Kimmel Live.
It's done in front of a live audience.
It is definitely in front of a live audience.
It's just
and
earlier
when
in the day.
He started the show, it was live.
Oh, was it? Okay.
And then.
So now it's just a name.
Now it's just a name.
Okay.
It's
like the International House of Pancakes, even though it's not international.
I feel like there are some IHOPs in other countries. There must be.
Okay. All right.
Must be. They're dropping the ball if they haven't expanded at least to Toronto. So Jimmy Kimmel,
Canada doesn't count.
He and his wife, whose name escapes me right now, and I typically would know because she's the head writer on his show. But they had a baby boy.
There are
who
some
was
in Canada, by the way.
Okay. Who was drastically sick with heart trouble and required open heart surgery and will continue to. And will continue to require surgeries as his heart and his chest cavity develop. And that kind of thing can really put, your life and your priorities in stark relief. And so Kimmel became very personally invested in the healthcare debate and talked about it openly every night for a couple of weeks on the show and made appeals to the viewing audience designed specifically to go viral and go outside of his actual viewing audience that and he became, I guess, kind of at least the liberals' conscience of the healthcare debate. More people were watching Jimmy Fallon and Stephen Colbert, but people were talking about Jimmy Kimmel. So he is, I would like to say, Trumpist's least favorite late night host, but that may not be true. They may hate Colbert more. So I don't know.
A couple other stories. And we've gotten further away from this, but this did affect a good amount of people. We had some crazy hurricanes this year. Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Maria, not to be confused with Hurricane Harvey Weinstein in Hollywood. So Hurricane Maria, Hurricane Jose, Hurricane Harvey, all wreaking havoc in Florida, wreaking havoc in, I won't say Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Wreaking havoc in Texas. I mean, Dallas was underwater. Houston. Dallas, sorry. Not Dallas. I'm sorry. Houston was underwater.
Yep.
So when you think, generally when you think huge, large American cities, mm-hmm. you don't think of them being underwater. I mean, it did happen with Katrina, obviously. But when I think of Detroit, I don't, well, obviously we're landlocked. We're never going to get a hurricane. But
we're literally on a river.
Right. Well, no, we're literally on a strait. It's called a river.
Still, it's not landlocked when the defining feature of your city is a river.
Yeah, but rivers don't get hurricanes.
No, that's true.
That's so.
But landlocked. Okay, moving on. Yeah,
all right. So we're landlocked in the sense that we are not close to an ocean.
Right.
Okay. So, but yeah, we're literally surrounded by water on three sides. Right. So never mind. But yeah, three major hurricanes have displaced, I want to say hundreds of thousands of people here in the United States this year. One of our good friends, Sherry, actually went down to Florida with the Wesleyan Church long after the cameras had left, because there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in Houston. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done in Puerto Rico. They're saying Puerto Rico was set back decades. Yep. Florida, I mean, President Trump found out that he was the president of Puerto Rico after everything happened, which was interesting. But so they're set back decades, and so there's still a lot of work to be done. But again, new movements come along, and we've talked about this when we talked about protest a few weeks ago. You know, when some nice when something comes up, it can take attention away from the last great human, you know, issue that was affecting us. And I think it's very easy to forget all the people that are still displaced, that are still looking for clean water, that are still looking for housing, that are still looking for electricity, because or don't have electricity because of the hurricanes that hit this year. So, yeah, that's another.
My apologies for my chuckle. It was not about Puerto Rico. It was about Trump not knowing.
Oh, right. Obviously.
That he was the
Hashtag Jen hates Puerto Rico.
Sorry. Just clarifying.
Let me offer the closest thing to a silver line. You know what? It's not the closest thing. It's a real, live, living, breathing silver lining to the devastation of Puerto Rico. And fair warning. It is cynical and nakedly political for me to say this. All of these hundreds of thousands, the gigantic majority of these hundreds of thousands of people who were displaced from Puerto Rico ended up in the logical place, and that is Florida. And unlike other immigrants from other disasters, the Puerto Ricans are not immigrants. They are people who have changed from a territory to a state. Every one of them is a U.S. citizen,
right,
and can register to vote immediately in the swingiest of swing states. I am thrilled that all these Puerto Ricans who had their backs turned on them by the current administration are now Florida voters.
Yes, but where they end up.
Yeah.
Where they end up in the state. And we need to talk about this in an episode sometime after April, because we're scheduled all the way through April, God willing, right? I'd like to talk about gerrymandering, because a lot of them are probably being put in places where the polls, there will be a lot of intimidation. Polls will close early. There will be malfunctions and things like that. So,
yep.
Yes, there's a huge influx of Puerto Ricans coming into Florida, but there have been Puerto Ricans for a long time in Florida.
Yep.
And
absolutely.
We've seen voter suppression. We've seen voter intimidation for years. I expect more of that. So we need to do an episode about gerrymandering and voter intimidation in 2018 for sure, because that's going to be an issue, because we actually have midterm elections next year, don't we?
An important election in 10 months.
Yes. So that's going to be a big deal. Oh, so yeah, that was another story. Yeah, Roy Moore lost by the skin of his teeth.
That felt good.
Senator in Alabama, but I don't know that people in Alabama should be patting their backs, because 51% of the people voted for Jones. What was his first name?
Doug Jones.
Doug Jones. It is Doug Jones.
It's like 51.
I don't want to say Doug Jones because I mean that's his name. There's an actor named Doug Jones.
Yes. It's a big year for Doug Jones.
Who played Abe Sapien in the Hellboy series.
Yep.
He also played the guy with the hands in Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. The horn guy.
Yes.
He is joined at the hip with director Guillermo del Toro. And
yes.
He's in everything he does.
I'm glad that you know this guy.
Yeah.
So this senator's name who won is Doug Jones.
By the way, I know Doug Jones because he is – essentially the only guy in Hollywood who does what he does. He is a an abnormally thin and flexible and he has long, weirdly jointed limbs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so when a role calls for a vaguely alien looking person, it's Doug Jones.
Yes. Where were we? I just got distracted.
Doug Jones. Senator
yeah.
Doug Jones.
So
yes.
So he won with 51% of the vote.
Sure.
Right. A win is a win. And I believe that Roy Moore has not at all said that
he has not conceded.
He hasn't conceded the race yet.
But that doesn't matter.
Right. There's all hope is lost at this point. Mm-hmm. Now he's blaming everyone. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think that people in Alabama should be patting themselves on the back, because we had one guy who is a essentially confessed pedophile.
Yes.
Versus anyone else.
Yeah.
Won with only 51% of the vote. So half the state, pretty much half the state, said, I don't care.
Nope.
The laws are different. We're good. Hey, I would love a Roy Moore to date my 14-year-old daughter. You're out of your goddamn mind.
Alabama, here's the best spin I can put on it. Alabama is the Thunderdome. We thought that Roy Moore was all of the negative thing you said, we didn't think it was going to be 51%. We thought it was going to be 43% voted for basic human decency. I'll take 51 over 43%.
I will take it. I'm just saying, I don't think Alabama is, I mean, people are like, Alabama did the right thing. Just over half of Alabama did the right thing.
Right.
Or half of voting Alabama did the right
exactly.
thing. Exactly. So that lets me know that Alabama has a long way to go in all that. Another story is the opioid epidemic.
Yep.
President Trump declared a national emergency because of opioids. I think a good deal of people don't know what opioids are. We need to do an episode in 2018 about what that is.
Opioids are the class of drugs and medicines derived from the poppy.
Correct. Now, here's the thing. When there was a cocaine epidemic in the 80s and 90s,
yes,
in inner-city Detroit and in Harlem, New York, there was no epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the communities knew it was an epidemic.
Sure.
But there is something to be said about when something is nationally understood to be and declared to be an epidemic, because then you have access to federal dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the President of the United States declaring that there is an opioid epidemic only happened, and this is where race comes into play, when white people started dying in huge numbers. Now, that's not to say that black people aren't dying from opioids. They are. But an unacceptable amount of white people were dying because of opioids.
Right.
So when people were lobbying the government in the 80s and 90s about the crack cocaine epidemic of, you know, of those decades, there was no national emergency declared. There was no epidemic declared. I mean, there were programs that were created. The government did assist where it could. But there was no epidemic.
Let me ask you this, because I don't know if in America, if a black person dies due to abuse or overdose on a drug, what is it most likely to be?
Cocaine.
Is it cocaine?
Crack. Crack, yes.
Okay, is it crack? And
meth has taken off as well.
Okay. Is it, if a white person dies in America of chronic abuse or overdose, is it most likely to be opioids?
Yes.
Okay.
And as you said, from the poppy, that would be cocaine. And a lot of it...
Well, cocaine doesn't come from the poppy. It comes from the coca leaf.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Heroin?
Heroin, yes.
Morphine. Morphine, heroin, and then your prescription drugs like oxycodone, Vicodin.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the number one heroin use in Michigan, if I am not mistaken, is in South Warren, Michigan.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
Yes. So that's a huge epidemic going on there. And it's not that it's not an epidemic. The problem is when it is recognized as an epidemic for white people and not recognized as an epidemic for people of color in this country. I feel like far more people died and or were incarcerated because of crack cocaine in the 80s and 90s, many of whom nonviolent drug offenders who are still in prison to this day for less cocaine than, you know, some Hollywood star has snorted up their, you know, up their nose on Academy Awards night. When it is white people who are dying at an alarming rate, that is unacceptable. And there are a number of reasons why that is, I think, and we could talk about that in the future. This makes me a little bit upset. I'm glad that it has been noted. It is an epidemic. It is an issue. We want less people to die. The government does have a vested interest in its constituency not dying. But I wish that that same category, that same label, was extended to all Americans who are struggling with drug addiction that can lead to death. So, but still, I will give kudos to the Trump administration for at least saying, look, this is an epidemic and it needs to be addressed. Because it does allow for access to federal funding to help combat this issue. So,
let me briefly address two stories. Because for anybody who we referenced that this is from Gannett News Services from USA Today. So if you're following along at home, let me reference two stories that I don't care about. Surprisingly, one on this list is Taylor Swift's comeback. You would think I would care.
You of all people.
I don't, because she makes me sad. Moving on.
Okay.
The solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Why was that a thing?
Because it's not going to happen again for a long, long time.
For a little bit. I think this one in 2 years is going to be better.
Oh, is it?
But I went out of my way to be outside.
Okay.
For the solar eclipse.
I took a badass picture.
Did you?
I did.
Did you notice that at the moment of totality, a big cloud went in front of the eclipse?
It wasn't total where we are. There's only total.
Well, no, right, yeah. At the apex where we were.
Yes.
At that moment, a cloud went in front of the. I mean, it totally covered it up.
It didn't happen for me, but what ended up happening where I was?
Uh-huh.
I mean, poor man's old. I mean, we grew up at a time where you're like the only way you could look at it was through a piece of film, right?
Yeah.
Well, now people don't really make film all that much anymore. Everything's digital.
No.
Well, I was told that you could take a selfie.
I did that.
I did it. And it was the coolest thing. So what ended up happening?
Way better than mine. Yeah.
Was I got a picture of the moon in front of the sun. It did cause the shadow. So it did two things. It caused the shadow of the moon to be on my tongue. So it displaces the shadow somewhere in the picture. But there was this really, really cool effect of the moon in front. Was it the moon in front of the sun?
It's the moon in front of the sun.
Moon in front of the sun. Okay. And I had rays of light going north, south, east, and west. So it looked like a cross. It was the coolest effect I have seen. So I actually thought it was neat. And it did get a little shady for just a moment. Like, I mean, obviously, since it wasn't total where we are, it felt like a cloud went in front of the sun. Where my house is in Roseville, there were no clouds.
Was it real shady? So,
it wasn't the real Slim Shady at all.
All the other Shadies. All right. Okay.
So, but it did feel like even though there was no cloud where I was, it felt like a cloud had moved in front of the sun for a second because it got dark for a moment and then it relit up. So I thought that was the neatest thing. That's the first eclipse I've seen since I was in elementary school.
So how we made it 90 minutes and 85 minutes into the podcast without discussing this on a year-end roundup, because I just got to it, is all the fun that went on in Charlottesville, Virginia in August.
Yeah, that...
That was for me. Yeah. For me, in a year... filled with terrible things, that was probably that was my low moment.
You know, here's the thing. I didn't think we would ever get to the point where we would have to re-mitigate that Nazis are a bad thing. I didn't think we would get there. And I'm wondering if there are old people, if there are like 60 or 70 year old people, like the last generation of people to die off who fought in World War II. I wonder if any of them are just like, yeah, I'm conservative, but seriously, what the fuck? Like, we killed those guys. Like, they sent me, I watched my friends die to kill these guys, and now we're defending them? It was a low point. It was a low point for the United States this year, personally, for me to watch that. We ended up doing a special episode. You weren't here for that.
I was out of town, yeah.
Yeah, you were out of town for that. That ended up being a really good episode. But I think that displayed to... I guess I'm not surprised, because when Donald Trump was elected president, I wasn't surprised that he won. I was disappointed. I wasn't surprised. As a black person, I wasn't surprised.
You were the Dave Chappelle.
I was the Dave Chappelle. Yes, yeah, okay. And I love that episode of Saturday Night Live that came out where, you know, neither he or Chris Rock were surprised by the outcome. I don't think black people were surprised. We were definitely deeply disappointed in the outcome, which is another huge story of 2017. He actually took office.
Let me say this in defense of white people, because I do that. No, I will say I was very surprised, but not because I thought, oh, race relations are great in this country and racism isn't a thing, it's not that I acknowledge that this is a country that we could do it. I was extremely surprised because I believed in, at the core of my being, the science of polling. And the polling said this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And it was systematically wrong, which causes a reexamination of how we predict the results of elections.
I don't understand, because there was polling around when the newspaper was printed and said Dewey beats Truman. Polling existed at that point. So I don't think that I don't understand how people can look at polls and go, this is absolutely going to go this way. I mean, the one thing that is always unpredictable are people.
Let me tell you real briefly why Dewey defeats Truman. It's a bad example of bad polling science.
Okay.
It was 1948, and that poll was conducted exclusively over the telephone. In 1948, the people who have telephones are rich.
Okay. All right.
And so that's why it's like, well, everybody we call – it's kind of like there was a famous saying from the editor of the New York Times Book Review in 1972 said of the re-election of Richard Nixon, I don't understand how Nixon could have won. Nobody I know voted for him, said the editor of the New York Times Book Review. Clearly, everybody she knew – is a liberal.
Right.
Okay. Everybody who got called was had a telephone.
So they were voting for Dewey. Yes. Okay, got it. All right, that's fair. That being said, it does show that polls are not foolproof.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's all I was trying to get at.
Right,
but,
yeah.
You know, thank you for my point taken, for sure.
Sure.
So I guess as black people in the United States, we weren't surprised. Disappointed, but not surprised. And so when we get to a Charlottesville and you get, you know, Trump's three different statements, good people and bad people on both, you know, bad people on both sides, you know, then doubling down and finally saying that white supremacy is, you know, it's deplorable. And then a...
Hey, better late than never.
Yeah. And then a third statement as well of, you know, should we tear down monuments of Jefferson and Washington? Oh, God. I guess what really disheartened me about what happened in Charlottesville, and then we can move on to talking about favorite episodes, because it's actually a good segue, is that it was kind of like the nail in the coffin of me having hope that this is an aberration, that or not necessarily that it's an aberration. Me having hope that there is some decency, that people weren't voting their racist consciences, that they weren't voting their tacit or overt white supremacy. But the statements from the President of the United States only served to solidify, and the actions that took place there with, you know, and having to remitigate Nazis and the, you know, white supremacists mowing down people with a car only just put the nail in the coffin to let me know that there are people who voted purely based on
fear. The racism wasn't a bug. It was a feature.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a main feature. Like, if it were a car and you're talking about, you know, hey, it comes with Bluetooth, this is, it comes with racism. So, I mean, it's, oh, wow, racism, sweet. So it's a key feature of this past year, I think. And that's not to say there aren't a lot of good people. My wife and I actually joined a small group at our church where we talked about religion and faith. Religion and race. Fantastic book that we got to read. And so I know there are good people who care deeply about the wounds that are going on in this country. President Obama spoke to that with the shootings in Dallas. Was that last year or was that this year?
Shootings in Dallas was last year.
Last year. So President Obama and George Bush went to the funeral services of the fallen police officers who died in Dallas. But they, you know, Obama in his speech also noted the deaths of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling in that speech as well. And so all that to say, there are some deep wounds. We're going to continue to talk about those deep wounds in 2018. But let's talk about some of the better episodes of our show.
Before we do, there's one story I wanted to ask about to see if you knew about it.
Is it Beyonce's new baby? Is she pregnant again?
No. And one of these pop culture moments, it said J-Lo and A-Rod's love story.
Pass.
I found out about this when I printed this off. Are they they're together? Did you know?
I'm finding out about it because of you printing it off.
Okay, so maybe it's not a top 10 story or a top 15 story if it got that little
attention. What's the date on it? What's the date?
Jennifer Lopez and Alex Rodriguez made their official debut as a couple at the Met Gala in May. And it's been nothing but cute Instagram photos and loving interviews about their relationship ever since.
Did something terrible overshadow it? Like, the next day, did Trump vote on DACA or something?
Oh, every week, okay. Something terrible.
So was it who was it who died the same day as Michael Jackson? Who was it?
Farrah Fawcett.
So was it a Farrah Fawcett?
Did they get Farrah Fawcetted?
It must be. So favorite episodes of 2017. I know we're on the show. Jen listens to the show a lot. Jen, did you have any favorite episodes from this season? Anything that kind of stuck out to you?
Father's Day episode.
You were on that episode. Okay. Mm-hmm. Kent wasn't here for the Father's Day episode.
I'm on all the episodes, and I don't listen. So it's because I'm
hate you
on
for that.
The episode.
I kind of do hate you for that.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. I mean, you sound terrible anyway. Every single episode, you sound like a harpy, so you probably hate how you sound. And you weren't on the Charlottesville episode either, so... So you like the Father's Day episode. Why the Father's Day episode?
Well, I mean, I might be biased on that one.
I liked it with our
girls.
Okay.
And I liked the... Well, like might be the wrong word because it was sad. But the authenticity that was brought to light that we saw in both of our girls about what they... longed for or wished they could have in their relationships with their father, and just hearing their hearts, I think, was super, super special.
Okay. Kent, what about you? What are some episodes do you
favorite episodes?
Yeah. I can tell you off the top of the head some of my favorite ones, if that gives you some time to think.
Yes, except I'm not sure that's going to help me. If you remind me of an episode, right. I will remember who was on the show.
I do like that this season, season three, went to kind of doing series instead of just one-off episodes. And next season we're going to do series again. I mean, well, next year we're going to do series again and then a few one-offs here and there. But the first series that we did was Divided States of America. I really, you know, why I'm conservative, why I'm liberal. I think that... probably the first episode to kick that off was an absolute exercise. It was an exercise in dealing with perspectives that I diametrically am opposed to. And it was a step away from what we normally do where we have people who are diametrically opposed sitting across from each other. Mm-hmm. But that Why I'm Conservative episode was hard. And I remember calling Jen on my way to trivia because normally on Wednesday nights I play trivia. After this, and so I was driving out to trivia afterwards, and she was like, how did it go? And that was the episode that Justin Imers was on. And while Justin and I are diametrically opposed to each other politically, there was not a moment that I could say he didn't know what he was talking about, right? That he did not have a command for the information that he was sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Disagree or not, he had a lot to say. And we pushed back, obviously. But the guy was smart.
Yep.
The guy was well-read, and the guy was respectable in the way that he presented what he was saying.
Who was the guy, Justin or the other individual
that you're talking about?
Justin Imers. Okay. Yep.
Yeah, and so I felt that that episode was taxing to me emotionally afterwards. Not only because Justin's one of my best friends. And no, I guess really that is because he's one of my best friends, and we think completely opposite from each other.
So you're saying Justin didn't know what he was talking about?
No, Justin did know what he was talking about.
Okay, because it sounds like you were saying the opposite.
I'm saying he absolutely did know what he was talking about. I'm saying that he and I are diametrically opposed politically.
It can be especially taxing when somebody is well-versed in a subject and knows what they're talking about and is wrong. It's better... If you fundamentally disagree with somebody and they have their facts wrong, but if they have their facts right and have come to a morally abhorrent conclusion, that causes some cognitive dissonance.
Yeah, and
I
so
like that you did series instead of jumping all over.
Yeah, that made things a little bit better, and then obviously. We did Why I'm Liberal the next week, and then Moving Beyond Identity Politics in the third week of that series. So, I mean, I really liked that entire series. Guns or People was really good because I loved having...
Guns or People. That's what you said.
Guns
are people.
No, guns like, or
it
people.
So, it did
The NRA would make you feel like guns
so
are people.
So in 2012, corporations were people,
yeah.
And now guns are
so,
people.
So we had Nicole Beatty, who is now running for office again, and she ran on a... sensible gun control platform. The previous time that she won and lost, I think, with 47% of the vote in the area where she's running. And we had Bob Waltenspiel on that episode, who is the president of the German Marksman Club.
It is almost impossible for me, and it's my respect for the language. It is nearly impossible for me to hear his name and not say Waltenspiel.
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 But it was cool to have that episode because there was a point where she said something. I cannot remember. I have to go back and listen to the episode. But she said something so sensible that Bob stopped and goes, wow, I never thought of it that way. You actually just changed my opinion. So here's a guy who's pro-gun against a woman who's sensible gun control legislation. And we literally saw perspectives change. So I thought that was a really good episode. Pro-life, pro-choice was good, if only because we absolutely had people who were on fundamentally different sides of that conversation. And the conversation
this
was...
This will mean nothing to the audience, but did we do that in the other room? I feel like we did that
No, we did that in here. We did that in here.
All right.
And so that was a good episode. No, wait, no.
Ha-ha!
We did do that in the
Got
other
it.
Room.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And we had... Sarah Purcell was on that episode.
Yep.
I want to say that was L. Michael Gibson on that episode?
I'm not sure.
Kelly was here. Kelly Cleaver was here.
Yep.
And so it was really neat to have women who were on different sides of that spectrum as well talking about that particular topic. Because I feel like in my opinion, if you believe that people are being killed, I don't think it's a women's issue at that point. But the rhetoric would say because it's women's bodies and women's choices, men shouldn't really be able to say anything. And so it was really nice to have two women on that panel who were on opposite sides of that discussion.
Yep.
That was really good. Does Religion Poison Everything was fun because we didn't have just a Christian on the panel. We also had mm-hmm. Muslim on the panel. And then we did have some people who were like, yeah, I'm an atheist. I need to be on that panel. And then
not prepared at all to
deal with, learned religious scholars. And so, But it was still a good episode.
Oh, we don't need the Pharisees on an issue. I mean, you know, it wasn't like learned religious scholars. It was me.
I mean, Saeed is a Michael Voris was here as well, and then I was here. Yeah. You know, I've gone to school for this kind of stuff as well. So, I mean, those have been my probably by far my. I mean, they're every episode is good in different ways, but I think those are my favorite episodes from 2017 that I enjoyed.
I liked all of the ones you just said.
I'm sure you did.
If you gave me a list of the, that's what you need
it's
to do
on your phone.
Yeah,
no, because he doesn't subscribe to our show.
No, but if he just goes to the show and he goes to available episodes, it will all show
okay,
up.
Okay, so we did fat shaming and the body.
It even divides it by the year.
And this is cool. So if anybody ever says that our show is only ever about race, here is a bunch of topics we've talked about. Obviously, we did 4 weeks. It was supposed to be 5 weeks, but we did 4 weeks on the First Amendment. Islam and women. We did a series on Battle of the Sexes. What is masculinity? What is femininity? What is then Mars, Venus, and gender fluidity? Divided States of America. That was the one I mentioned that I liked the most. Charlottesville, women in transition, talking about women in the workplace.
Are we in season two or three?
We're in season three now.
Okay, good. I got the list.
We're talking about the last year, though. So season two and season three happened in 2000.
Oh, okay.
We talked about gentrification. Well, you weren't here for that. Which means I know you didn't listen to that one.
You know what I liked? I guess this was 11 months ago. Nope, I didn't like that one. Never mind. No, that was fun. No, that was fun. Dating in the Age of Algorithms.
You did? Okay. Did you like that one?
No.
Because it's kind of coming back up again.
You know what? I hated that one.
I think you hated the people.
No, the people were fine.
You legit told me you hated the people.
You didn't like the one about the Valentine's Day. Episode is the one he didn't like.
Well, that was this is January.
That's
25th.
That episode.
No, this is January.
No, it's not.
We wouldn't have done Valentine's on January.
Oh no, okay. That was okay.
I just looked him up.
Okay.
Oh, What is Love? The Rise and Fall of Monogamy.
That's the one that you hated.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. Okay. I really like the topic of euthanasia, it's kind of like I would like to do the show on euthanasia March 2nd. I feel like I was here, but I have no memory of the show. But I'm going to say I liked it very much because it's interesting to me.
Okay.
That
was a good one. We had Big Dev from the Shot of History podcast.
In April, there was a two-part show called Live from Falling Down Beer Company, which is notable because I wasn't invited to that show. Wasn't I?
Because you don't drink beer.
Is that why? All right. Breaking down the archetypes of black women.
You weren't here for that.
I wasn't here.
Yes. Only black women. Now, I was here. I did the soundboard.
I was especially I like that show especially well because I wasn't here. I was on a train back from New York City.
Okay.
It was great. To wrap up, I did find one story that just said the best thing that happened in 2017 was a guy changed the Hollywood sign to say Hollyweed. So that literally happened 12 months ago. That was January 1st, 2017.
All right.
Hollywood.
What will it be Weed. On January 1st this year? All right.
Who knows?
So everybody, have a happy new year. Thanks so much for try your best. Thanks so much for it can't be more of a dumpster fire than 2017 was.
Oh goodness.
But thanks so much for listening to Leading Questions with Calvin Moore. Make sure you check out our website leadingquestionsnow.com where you can find all of our episodes from this season and last season and the season before that, bios, a calendar of upcoming topics, and even suggest topics for us to talk about. If you're interested in bringing our program out to your college, university, or organization, email us at hello@leadingquestionsnow.com and we'll get back to you. Tune in next week, the first show of the year, where Kent and I will begin a new series titled Sacred Space, and we will be talking about Christianity. So this series will be looking at faith. It's a four-part series, so we'll start off with Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and then we will look at not applicable, people who are spiritual but not religious, not religious at all, agnostic, whatever have you. So we'll be looking at how the ins and outs of these different religious faiths, and we will see you next week. See you in the new year.